according to the customs or injunctions of the scriptures, and one who does not accept charity in that way, or consider to be in the mode of ignorance, such persons follow the path of the foolish. Surely they must lament at the end. So this is Kalakanya speaking to Yavanaraj. So the daughter of time, she's speaking to the king of the Yavanas, trying to convince him to accept her as a wife. Okay, so Prabhupada's purport. It is herein stated that one should strictly follow the scriptures if one actually wants an auspicious life. The same is explained in Bhagavad Gita 16.23. Yashastra vidhimutsreja vartate kama karataha nasasidhim avapnoti nasukam naparangatim. He who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. One who does not strictly follow the terms of Vedic injunctions never attains success in life or happiness. And not to speak of going home, back to Godhead. One Shastric injunction holds that a householder, a kshatriya, or an administrative head should not refuse to accept a woman if she voluntarily requests to become a wife. Since Kalakanya, the daughter of time, was deputed to Narada Muni, by Narada Muni to offer herself to Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas could not refuse her. All transactions must be performed in light of the Shastric injunctions. The Shastric injunctions are confirmed by great sages like Narada Muni. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Korya Aikya. One should follow the principles of saintly persons, scriptures, and the spiritual master. In this way, one is sure to attain success in life. Kalakanya, the daughter of time, presented herself before the king of the Yavanas precisely in terms of sadhu, shastra, and guru. Thus, there is no reason for not accepting her. Omagyanatimirandasya jnanam jana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangum lankayate girim yatripatam aham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya nishvaram. Kalakanya wants to marry Yavanaraj, who is the king of Yavanas. But Yavanaraj will make a better arrangement. You say you can actually marry and enjoy all people who are addicted to materialistic life or addicted to sense gratification. So that's the arrangement he makes, because according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he explains that they are both coming from the same dynasty of Adharma. That's explained in the beginning of the fourth canto. In the dynasty of Adharma, both Kalakanya and Yavanaraj, they come as brother and sister in the dynasty of Adharma. Anyway, he's still accepting her, but he's saying that actually, I'll make a better arrangement. You can enjoy all people who are addicted to fruitive activities. So at this point, he or she's just arguing that you should not reject me. You should accept me because I have come to you and I am offering myself as your wife according to the principles of Shastra. So you should not reject me, please accept me. So Shastras give many, many injunctions. And they may vary according to time, according to place, and according to the recipient. So some injunctions are applicable to some particular time and to some particular person, but another person may give another instruction. Because these instructions are like medicines. There are many varieties of instructions. If someone is in the mode of ignorance, there are some instructions meant for them. Someone in the mode of passion or goodness, there are some set of instructions meant for them. And one cannot blindly instruct someone in any instruction of Shastra. If someone is attached to fruitive activities, for example, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, you should not just tell them, you give up your fruitive activities, they are useless. You're not this body, you're going to die, give up everything, take sannyas. Because if you preach like that, and the person has faith in you and gives up karma, but the person has no adhikar or qualification to actually take to jnana, to take sannyas and renounce everything, then what happens? He has given up one rung of the yoga ladder. He's hanging on to that, to the karma platform. And then you tell him you give up that. And you take to jnana. But jnana is far away. Jnana requires a specific adhikar or qualification of being pure in heart. So you tell him who is in Sakama Karma Yoga to give up that and take to jnana, he's going to fall down. So you have to preach the next step. Okay, you are performing karma with material desires. Try to give up the material desires. Try to give away some of the fruits of your labor. And like that, then he can go to the next run and he can grab that. So you cannot give any instruction to anyone from Shastra, but you have to give instruction that is befitting that person. Just like a doctor. The doctor will speak to someone, you first check the pulse. Okay, let's see this patient. What kind of patient is this? And according to the patient, then the doctor may prescribe, okay, you take this medicine or take that medicine. The doctor may have studied hundreds of books, and he may know hundreds and thousands of prescriptions, but he's going to give the specific one that suits that person. So Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita like that. You don't preach jnana to a person who has adhikar for karma. But the same Krishna, in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, gives other instructions. He says, no, a person who actually knows the value of human life, he'll never encourage one in sense gratification, in karma. He's not going to do that. Just like a doctor is not going to encourage a patient to eat something harmful to him, even if the patient likes that. So one who knows bhakti, he's not going to encourage a person in fruitive activities. So how to reconcile these two things? Not they appear to be contradictory. Krishna says you don't preach jnana to a person who has any karma for karma. But then Krishna says you preach to someone, you don't preach karma to anyone if you know bhakti. So that's the difference. One who has bhakti and one who can give bhakti. If a devotee is, he has received the bhakti lata bija and he has that pure seed of devotion, and if he can give that, then he may disturb the person who is attached to fruitive activities. So in other words, you cannot preach to someone to give up karma and pick up jnana, because jnana requires purity of heart as a prerequisite. But bhakti has no prerequisite. Anyone can take up to bhakti. And so if we can somehow or another give bhakti to someone, if we can generate faith in devotional service in the heart of anyone, doesn't matter their position, their qualification, then that's allowed. That's desirable. So that's the special thing about this age, that the process of bhakti is being emphasized, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has opened the doors of bhakti through chanting the holy name. There are many processes of bhakti. There are 9 divisions of mukhya bhakti of direct devotional service, starting from shravana, kirtana, smarana, etc. And Rupa Goswami expands that into 64 in Nectar of Devotion. But through these 64 items, there is one which pervades all, and which is the most important, that should always accompany all practice of devotional service. That's chanting of the holy name. So chanting the holy name is the universal medicine that can be given to anyone. It has no side effects, and it will benefit every person. So it's also the simplest process of self-realization. and it doesn't require any qualification. So you don't have to, you don't need money, you don't need studies or education, you don't need any kind of material situation to change the holy name. Anyone can do that. So it's a great blessing for all the people in the age of Kali, the chanting of the holy name. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. So, but even though it's very simple, very powerful, but doesn't mean it's easy. So that's the other side of the story. Doesn't mean it's easy. So the topic of today's class is achieving Krishna Prema, love of God, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that's the theme of today's class. So the holy name can give many things. Sanketyam parihasyam vastobam helanam evabha vaikuntha namagrahanam asheshagha haram vidu. Great learned sages, they understand that by chanting the holy name, even if I do that just as a musical entertainment, Sanketyam. Sanketyam means actually to give name to something, like Ajamila. He called his son Narayan, and then he's calling his son. Sanketyam, parihasyam means even playfully, jokingly, you may chant the holy name. If someone sees a Hare Krishna in the street, oh, look at Hare Krishna, so funny, look the way they dress. And jokingly, they may say, speak Krishna's name. Sanketyam, parihasyam va, stobam, helanam eva va. So, and even while relaxing or taking shower or neglectfully, one may chant the holy name. Vaikuntha namagrahanam asheshaga haram viduhu. By taking the name of Hari, one can become free from all sinful reactions. So that's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. That's one result of chanting the holy name. Even without understanding the potency of the holy name, just chanting, it purifies one from all sinful reactions. So it's there, the Bhagavatam explains. You can become free from so many sinful reactions. So our life may become much easier, because sinful reactions, they generate suffering. All kinds of sufferings. And they may come in the form of disease, they may come in so many ways. So Lakshmi Priya Mataji, another day she came to my house, and I just got, 2 weeks ago my uncle came from France. He's here, he's going to spend 3 months in Mayapur. But he had some problems in the legs that for years and years and years the doctors tried to solve, they could not solve. And he also had a problem in the stomach that for years and years the doctors said, we cannot solve that. He has been suffering from so many years. So she came to treat him with acupuncture. Okay, so the acupuncture is she's a very expert doctor. But the first day she told my uncle, look, I can treat you. I know how to treat that. I treated people like this before. I can't cure them. But before I used to take 1 year, sometimes more than 1 year, treating someone to get rid of this kind of problems. You don't have 1 year. But I have a good news. No, she explained how the subtle body is generating the problem. The subtle body has many things, there are many reactions. And briefly she told him, look, if you just get acupuncture, it's going to take a long time. But if you take acupuncture and you change the holy name, then in a few weeks you can solve the problem. No, that was her explanation. So he started chanting and doing acupuncture. And in 1 week the leg problem was gone. And now the stomach problem is also gone. It's almost finished. So, but why? Because the holy name is burning the sinful reactions that are creating, in the subtle level they're creating the problem. So if you try just physically, it may take a long time. But chanting the holy name is going to take out the source of that problem. So that's one result of chanting the holy name. It burns up all sinful reactions. It relieves us of a heavy burden that we have been carrying with us. Also the holy name, even in the stage of namabhas, it can give liberation. That's even a higher achievement. Liberation is the greatest of all material benedictions. So we people may ask so many things, no? People would like to have a chintamani, a touchstone. Then I can get gold, I can get this, I can get that. But the holy name can give liberation. It's the highest material achievement. But when Haridas Thakur heard some devotees and scholars discussing the results of chanting the holy name, some scholars are saying the holy name can give you freedom from all sinful reactions. And others said, no, the holy name can give you liberation. And Haridas Thakur said, no. Actually, this is not the result of chanting Hare Krishna. The result of chanting Hare Krishna, Namer Pal, is Krishna Prema. That's the result of chanting Hare Krishna. So it's not getting rid of sinful reactions and it's not achieving liberation. These are just side effects. Krishna's name can give us Krishna Prema. And that's the real goal. That's what we should aspire for. And should be clear, because if you don't know the goal, if you just chant Hare Krishna, but without Sambandha Jnana, without imbibing the proper mood from the devotees, then we may chant and we may get some secondary results. But we're not going to get Krishna Prema. So Krishna Prema comes when we chant the holy name with Sambandha Jnana, and by association with the devotees we can develop the proper mood, the proper devotional mood. So that then we really get the result. And the price for that, we cannot buy that with money, we cannot buy with any qualification, material qualification. But if we have faith in the devotees, and if we receive the holy name with faith, then that only can that's the only thing that can make us get the holy name. So Nityananda Prabhu, he opened the Namahata. Shraddha Mulya Nam, only by the price of one's faith, then he's selling the holy name. That's the only price. He doesn't accept other currency. Now if you come with a different currency, no. You have to change that, you come here with faith, and I'll give you the holy name. That's the only currency. So Nityananda Prabhu, he opened that holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he reopened the holy name in the same place, right here, in Godrumadvip. And we can get there. We can go there with faith and get there. So it doesn't matter in which stage we are. We may be in a very low stage of material desires and material life. But from that, by getting that holy name with faith, we can proceed from that point up to Krishna Prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what he gave us. He gave only 8 shlokas, only the Shikshastakam. And in the Shikshastakam, he is explaining all the way from Shraddha to Prema. So in the beginning, the first shloka of the Shikshastakam gives us faith by pointing out the results of chanting Hare Krishna. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the holy name will clean the mirror of the heart. The consciousness will become purified. It's like taking the dust from that mirror that has not been used for a long time. And then, by doing that, finally we can see ourselves, who we are. We can understand, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. And we can also see Krishna with us. Because in the mirror of the heart, both the Atma and the Paramatma, they are there. In the moment the consciousness is clear, we can see ourselves and we can see Krishna in that mirror. Bhava Maha Dava Nirvapanam, liberation. It extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. The holy name is like the moonshine. Shreya Kairava Chandrika. Chandrika means the moonshine, moonlight. So under the moonlight, the white lotus, the white lilies, they sprout. They open. So in the same way, the heart of the devotee will open, it will bloom under the holy name of Krishna. So by chanting the holy name, we can make our heart that is closed like this. By chanting, it will open. And when it opens, then you can see Krishna, you can see Goloka Vrindavana, there, manifesting the heart. So, Shreya Karyava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Then, when the lotus of the heart is open, then you can see the spiritual world, and you can be there in the spiritual world, you can see who we are. And that's the highest knowledge, that's the real knowledge of the self. So the soul has eternally knowledge, perfect knowledge inside. It's not something that comes from outside. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Real knowledge is actually an eternal function of the soul. It's not something that we acquire externally. There are two types of knowledge. There is the material knowledge that we can grasp through material senses, through our intelligence. And also there is the spiritual knowledge. It is already there, inside. The soul has it, but it has been covered my mind. So, the real knowledge is when the soul awakens to Krishna consciousness, that when we understand who we are, who is Krishna, what's my relationship with Him, what's my eternal duty. So, that knowledge is awakened by chanting Hare Krishna. You cannot learn that anywhere else. And even when we read Shastra, Rich Mad Bhagavatam. That realization will come only when what we read outside in the book, in the pages of the Bhagavatam, when that reflects in internally. And then you see, yes, I can see that. Then that's called realization. That's the Swata Siddha Jnana, is self-manifested knowledge. That knowledge is the real knowledge, and it comes from chanting Hare Krishna. So only by reading you cannot understand the Bhagavatam. And also only by chanting Hare Krishna, not reading Bhagavatam, we cannot chant properly. So the right way to combine is that we read Bhagavatam, and then by chanting Hare Krishna, we can understand what's written here. And by understanding what is written here, we can chant Hare Krishna with Sambandha Jnana, and we can achieve the proper result. So it goes side by side. One nourishes the other. And actually both of them are holy name. The Bhagavata also, Prabhupada explains it in a lecture, I think in Tokyo. Prabhupada explains to the devotee that chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, is as good as chanting Hare Krishna. It's also Krishna's name. So Prabhupada explains that you should chant. I gave you the Sanskrit, I gave you transliteration, you should not neglect that. You should recite the Sanskrit. So the Bhagavatam is a long name of Krishna with 18,000 verses. But it's all about Krishna. Therefore, it's also his name, because name is something that describes a person. So this is describing Krishna. So the Bhagavatam, like that, is also Krishna's name. So, but the Bhagavatam is a special type of Krishna name that gives us Sambandha Jnana. And with that, we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with the proper understanding and achieve the right result without deviation. So like that, the first shloka of the Bhagavatam, the first shloka of the Shikshastaka is giving us faith by explaining the results of chanting Hare Krishna. And finally, Vidyavadu Jivanam, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritas Vardhanam. Everybody is looking for bliss, everybody wants to be happy, but the highest happiness, the perfect happiness, comes from spiritual life. Material happiness is illusory, it's temporary, it doesn't make anybody happy. Because the soul is spiritual and material objects cannot satisfy the soul. It's just like a fish out of the water. You put the fish out of the water, you may give him everything, he's not going to be happy. So the soul is spiritual. It swims in the ocean of Krishna consciousness, of Krishna prema. But when you're not swimming, that ocean of Radha Govinda Prema, then the soul cannot be happy. Even if you give everything of this world, the soul cannot be happy. Like King Yayati says, Yat Prithivyam Brihiyavam Hiranyam Pashavastriyaha. Na Hiyakasya. I don't remember clearly the shloka, but it says, King Yayati, after all his life, all his realizations, trying to enjoy, he comes to the realization that actually, even if you take all the gold, all the money, all the food, all the animals, like elephants and horses, and nowadays you could say not only animals, because nowadays you may not want to have elephants, but you want to have cars and motorbikes and yachts and like that, no? Airplanes and helicopters. So even if someone has all these things, or the whole world, all the money present that you can find in the whole planet, all the food, all the women, still that's not sufficient to satisfy the last desires of one single person. So understanding that, you should give up. And understand, only spirit can satisfy spirit. The soul can never be pleased by any amount of material objects. So Anandam Buddhivardhanam, the holy name, will actually going to expand the ocean of bliss and make us experience the nectar for which we have been hankering for. Sarvatma Jnapanam is like a bathing of the soul. The soul is completely cleansed by that. So understand the results of Chanti Hare Krishna, we should develop faith. And then, with that faith, we should chanting in the association of devotees. So Sadhu Sangha comes, and then we should chant, Bhajana Kriya comes, and Anartha Nivriti comes. Because by that chanting, quickly, all the impurities of the heart will be purified. So these three stages are explained in the second shloka of the Shikshastakam. Nam nama kari pahudal nija sharva shaktis. So Krishna has invested all his potency in his holy name. He's there. Krishna has put in such a way that's very easy. He's not demanding any complicated process. No? But we need to chant the association of devotees so that we can actually get the result. Otherwise, without proper association, we don't even develop the desire to chant. So association is extremely important. Otherwise, we commit offenses and we have no taste for the chant. So these three stages, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivriti, are described in the second shloka. Then the third shloka comes. Tanada pisu nichena tarora pisa hishvana. So, a person who is chanting Hare Krishna, he develops special symptoms. He develops humility, deep humility, he actually humble, and tolerance. That many disturbances will come. This material world is full of them. Three types of miseries. But the person will keep chanting Hare Krishna without bothering the distractions or the disturbances. So that stage is called Nishtha. One becomes fixed up in the holy name. And so we have Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivriti, then comes Nishtha, one becomes fixed up. And no matter what, you chant the holy name. So that's the third shloka of the Shikshastaka. Then after Nishtha comes Ruchi, the higher taste. So when we develop the higher taste by chanting Hare Krishna, then then, okay, I don't want anything else, because I understand these material things cannot give me any real happiness. So I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want material erudition or scholarship, I don't want any of these things. No, what I want only devotional service to you, life after life. So this is Nishtha. One is fixed up because it has a higher taste. Then after Nishtha comes Asakti. Asakti is a strong attachment, desire. So then we pray with a great feeling, heartfelt prayer. Ayananda Tanuja King Karam Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budal. Oh my Lord, oh Krishna, son of Nanda Maharaj, somehow or another have fallen into this ocean of the material world. It's a very dangerous ocean. Vishame Bhavam Budal. Kripaya Tavapada Pankajas Tita Duri Sadrisham Vichintaya. So please rescue me from this ocean. And please situate me as a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So that's the prayer, the heartfelt prayer of one who comes to the level of Asati by chanting the holy name. So after Asati comes, Asati Baba. So Baba is already the preliminary stage of love of God. So Nayanangalad Ashrudharaya. Nayanangalad Ashrudharaya. Vadanam Gadgadaru Naya Girapura Kaini Chitanga Pukada Dava Namagrahane Vadishati. So, oh my Lord, when will my eyes will flow incessant tears while chanting a holy name? When will the hair of my body stand up in ecstasy? When will my voice choke? So like that, no? So all these are symptoms of ecstasy, of Bhava. That's a preliminary stage of love of God. And finally, one comes to Prema. First stage of Prema, realizing Krishna in separation. So in this world, the devotee is hankering to achieve Krishna. And he's crying for Krishna. He's crying, please Krishna, please accept me. Please let me engage in your service. He Radhe, Vrajade, Vike, Chalalite, He Nanda, Suno, Kuta. Where are you, Krishna? O Radharani, oh Krishna, where are you? Are you somewhere under the trees of Govardhan? Are you wandering near the Yamuna? Where are you, Krishna? So that hankering for Krishna in separation, that love of Krishna, prema. And then finally comes to, one develops the mood of the gopis. And one develops Krishna prema in its highest manifestation, just like Radharani, like she has that mood of serving Krishna, giving Krishna pleasure without considering her own happiness. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Aslisha va padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva yatatata va vidadhatulam patu matrananatas tusayeva naparaha. So it doesn't matter if Krishna is going to embrace me or kick me. Whatever happens, even if Krishna neglects me. So, I have decided, He is my worshipable Lord. He is the only love of my life. He is my prananata. And He will continue to be that in any situation, unconditionally. So that stage is, Radharani is ready to do anything for Krishna. And she loves Him so much that if Krishna decides to leave her and go to another gopi, she will be happy. Because she thinks, okay, if that gives Krishna pleasure, so even though I may be suffering, this suffering is the greatest happiness because it's giving Krishna pleasure. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing love of God in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that's the last stroke of the Shikshastakam. So in this way, in eight shlokas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us the whole progress from Shraddha to Prema by chanting Hare Krishna. And it's up to us to, in the association of devotees, imbibe the mood of devotion and learn how to chant the holy name in this way, so that we can also experience that. There's a lot we can speak about the holy name, but the real thing is not about speaking, it's about tasting. And I know everybody in this room, most of us have read many books about chanting Hare Krishna, and have heard many classes about chanting Hare Krishna. And we know the philosophy. But then the thing is that we have to take the bottle of honey and we have to open it and taste the honey. No? It's not sufficient to know, okay, this honey is very nutritious. Oh, it's very good for cold and for cough, sore throat. It has many medicinal properties. And it's golden in color. And it's liquid in consistency. And I may go on and on and on, analyzing and speaking about the glories of the honey, but if I don't open the bottle and taste, I'll never know. So what I have to do is to chant more and more in the best way that we can. And it's very simple, but it's not easy. So I know I'm trying and trying and trying for many years, and we're all trying. And we know that even though we try, and we may have a lot of sincerity, but still we commit offenses. Again and again, it's so so sad, not that we try and we know the philosophy and know everything, but still keep committing offenses. So what comes to my mind in this regard is a verse from the Pancharatra Pradip. Bhumaus kalita padanam, bhumireva balambanam, tvai jata paradanam, tvam eva sharanam prabhu. Oh my Lord, just like a person who kicks the earth, if you kick the ground and you fall down, he's going to find support on the same ground that he kicked. Bhumaus kalita padanam, bhumireva balambanam. So you kick the ground. The same ground that you kick is the ground that's going to support you. Vai jata parada nam tome eva sharanam prabhu. In the same way, oh my Lord, oh Krishna Nama, even though I offend you, you are my only shelter, you are my only support. So with that in mind, we should, in spite of all the difficulties that we may go through, in spite of keeping committing offenses, we should always take shelter of the holy name, because it's our only support. There's no other way. It's the only hope we have. It's the best friend we have. So with that mood, you can go on chanting, praying, and when Krishna sees that from our side, we are trying, seriously, we are trying the best we can, then from his side, he'll make the impossible possible. He can turn us into pure devotees, no matter how fallen we are. Okay, so that's Krishna's greatest expression of love, of mercy, and we should faithfully take shelter of this in the association with the devotees. Shri Hari Nama Chintamani ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. If anyone has any questions or comments, wants to add some realizations,
in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives this Narottam Das song, Sadhu Shastra Guru Bhakya Chittite Kuri Aikya. It's interesting that the way this verse is structured, because my understanding of the rules of Bengali, that you could say Guru Sadhu Shastra Vakya Shastra Sadhu Guru, it could be in any order and not disturb the meter of the verse, but yet he's, Narottam Das Thakur has given Sadhu first and Shastra second and Guru third. So sometimes devotees say that how do we can't understand Shastra without Guru, we can only understand Shastra through the explanation of our Guru. We can only understand Sadhu through our Guru. So actually our authority is Guru, Guru, Guru. But this verse seems to indicate that no, there's some special quality in Shastra and Sadhu that it's different, that is, it provides authority for us, other than simply Guru. Perhaps you could elaborate on that.
So, the point is to establish which one should come first? What's the question?
No, we say that our, in other words, it's clear, Srila Prabhupada said that Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, these are our three authorities, and they should agree with each other. So we take from all three sources, and that's for our authority. But sometimes I've heard devotees say that actually they're all Guru, 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 because Sadhu, we can't, unless the Guru confirms something that the Sadhu says, and that's, we can't accept that as authority. Unless the Guru repeats something from the Shastra, then that's, we can't accept that as authority. But this seems to be saying something different.
Okay, so I'll try to present my understanding of this. When we have only one point of reference, it's difficult to give a direction, because we have one point here. I can go through this point like this, or like this, and like this, and like this, and like any direction, because I only have one point. And it's very... Then you can do anything you like based on that one point, because you can turn any way based on keeping that one point. So you can deviate very easily. But the moment you have two points, then you can only go one way. But still you may be wrong, because, okay, one point is here. If the second, one of the points are slightly deviated out of the direction, then you're going to go wrong. But then you have three. You have the first one, the second one, and the third one. So then, for them to have a straight line, you have to be aligned with the three, and then you actually get something very substantial that you can trust, okay, I'm going the right direction. So if I have only guru, and I think it's only guru, then that means based on that, I can interpret my guru's words and go any direction I want. And that's not very safe. If I have two, I still may be one of them. If the guru is not a very good guru, and he's a little bit off, then also I'm going off. But when you have three of them, then you're going the straight line. And you can check that they are actually, okay, this guru is bona fide, because what he says matches sadhu and shastra. So that's one part of the answer. The other thing is that why devotees say, I think the idea that everything comes through guru is because even though there are three points, but we receive them through the guru. And I had some realization of this while teaching Bhagavad Gita here in Mayapur. We had a BBT course which was 8 months long. And Vidwan Gauranga Prabhu and I were teaching. And during this course, we are looking at Prabhupada's purport as the main focus. But we're also going through the commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Baladevi Dabhushana and Sridhara Swami. And then, when you look like that, like first of all, I wouldn't be able to understand Sridhara Swami or Bhaktivinoda Thakur if I go directly to them without Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the bridge. But then through Prabhupada, I can look and I see, wow, that's what they are saying. And then through Prabhupada, I have access to them. And then from them, when I look back to Prabhupada, then I can understand better what Prabhupada is saying in a different light. Before Prabhupada said something, which I understood to some level, to some degree. But when I read the acharyas and I come back to Prabhupada, then I have a different level of understanding, and I can see how Prabhupada is actually so deep. So it increases my appreciation and my understanding of Prabhupada's purports. So in this way, yes, it comes to the guru as a bridge, but it goes out to sadhu and shastra, and then the Bhagavad Gita makes more sense, and the other acharyas, the previous acharyas make more sense. But I didn't lose the other two references, I still have shastra, I still have sadhu, and I have guru. But I go through the guru to access sadhu and shastra. So that's my understanding, my experience with that. No? I don't know, does that make sense for you or helps in any way? That's as much as I can say. Anybody wants to add to some insights or realization of that? Guru, sadhu and shastra. Any other question?
It's a very brilliant explanation. I'm very much appreciative of that. I had been thinking of guru, sadhu and shastra as a triangle, which is a very strong thing in construction. You see the triangle all the time. They put big beams together. They make sections like that. So you, but you have made a very wonderful point. How it's direct. The question is still lingering. Which is the most important? Sometimes people are wondering what's the most important of these three elements: guru, sadhu, and shastra. And He's saying in the verse that it's shastra. He's saying first is sadhu, then shastra, then guru. So is that a level of importance or not?
I'm just saying, according to Bengali, it could have been put in any order. And still, metrically, there wouldn't have been any problem with the verse. So this, you know, I'm just saying that if he had wanted to put some more importance on one of them, he could have put it first. Or he may have. But he didn't put guru first, even though he could have. Linguistically, that's
so. We get guru through sadhu. First is the association of devotees, and then they lead us to through the shastra and on to guru. Generally, that's the process, isn't it?
Sadhu also refers to our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. In other words, if something is being practiced in general by Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's also a source of authority for us, even though it may not have been given directly by our guru. Similarly, if something is established in Shastra, we may not have heard it from our guru, but it still is a source of authority for us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's a subtle point. I would say, no, instead of concern about which one is more important, we should value the importance of all the three and understand that each one of them helps us to understand the others. And in that way, they protect each other, they give us realization of each other, shedding light on each other. So, anyway, thank you very much for this very nice question. Anybody has any other topic or realization or question? Otherwise, let's focus this week. Throughout the world, the devotees are chanting the holy names in different ways. I have received messages from Brazil, from different countries, and here in Mayapur. Now I have different schedules for increasingly chanting the holy name through this week. So to remind us of this sublime process of Harinama Sankirtana. Shri Harinama Sankirtana Yajna Ki Jai!